following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Oh yeah, welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here to give you some of the news for the past week. And what I'd like to talk about is how crazy things have gotten. You know, when the internet first came out, I thought this is a wonderful thing. Because what's going to happen is we're all going to share all of our secrets. Everybody's going to figure out that none of us feel normal. All of us are crazy, and we're going to get along, and it's going to usher in a new era of mankind, of peace and harmony, brotherhood, sisterhood, all across the world. But no, all it's done is expose mankind for the enormous prats that we are. And, you know, really, I don't even know what that word means, but I've heard it in English comedy, and it seems to describe things perfectly. So I'm looking it up here in the Urban Dictionary. Apparently, the top definition, prat, means dim-witted, useless, clueless, used in a sentence. You acted like a right prat last night. You know, I thought that in finding out that we're all absurd, that we're all abnormal, we would in effect become normal because we would be able to connect each other. You know, we all have the same kind of overall feelings, right? We all have similar hopes and fears. We all have dreams. We want somebody to love us. We want to, you know, drive nice things. We want to feel important. So I thought that the internet would bring everybody together. And in a way it has, but in a tribal sort of way, right? We've all gotten into our own little groups here. Yeah, I mean, really, is the world just the high school table, the high school lunchroom? You know, you have cool kids in one section, you've got nerds in another section, right? You got the jocks in another section. I mean, I guess that's really what the world is. It was true in high school, and adults are just children grown up. And you're seeing these differences reflected a lot in our political parties and our political viewpoints. And because this is taking place online, the world is able to see what's happening. Now, what's gotten me off on this little rant here? This is some pretty frightening stuff. Facebook, this is from Newsweek, okay? There's a story I'm reading in Newsweek. And what's so funny is that news outlets reported this story of these people being banned before the banning actually happened. So there's some sort of go-between between Facebook and the news media, and I strongly suspect the government is involved in this also. Not that I would want to be labeled a conspiracy theorist. You know, that's the kiss of death for people, right? I mean, if you recall, they were shouting in Congress, the Democrats were saying that it's a conspiracy theory to believe that conservatives are being shown bias from the social media platforms. I mean, it just happens to be that conservatives are the ones constantly getting kicked off. For every four, five, six conservatives, you might get a progressive liberal or somebody who's obviously actually has violated terms of service getting kicked off. But, you know, I find that mostly these conservative, most of the political voices that are silenced are conservative voices. And you can call it a conspiracy theory, but you can point to examples pretty easily. And here's one of them now. So this is Newsweek. This story was published on the 2nd of May. This is on Thursday. Facebook banned several far-right extremists from its platforms. Now, let me just start off with, you can't trust Newsweek, Vox, or any of these media outlets with their adjectives, okay? They throw away the words extremist, conspiracy theorist. I mean, like it's the word even, right? Or like it's a simple adjective. So, and I haven't looked that far into these people. I mean, maybe, Maybe they are, but I really don't think so, because I Alex Jones, you know, is gone kind of nuts. But Milo's stuff is tame. I mean, it's not tame from the standpoint of somebody who makes raunchy jokes and things like that. But, I mean, his politics are not that extreme. He's considered to be far right, but he's married to a black guy. He's a homosexual. And at this point in time, he's broke. and his family's Jewish. Now, I'll finish reading the story here. All right. According to the company, so this is Facebook banned several far-right extremists from its platforms Thursday under the platform's policies against dangerous individuals and organizations. Dangerous? Although Milo did come out with a book called Dangerous, didn't he? According to the company, those individuals were Laura Loomer, the deadly Laura Loomer, Alex Jones, Paul Nellen, Milo Yiannopoulos, Paul Joseph Watson, who's come out with some very good stories before, and Louis Farrakhan, who, I mean, you could argue that he is dangerous. I mean, I do remember in the 90s he was promoting the idea of a race war, so maybe they got one in there. Facebook is also removing the InfoWars page and Instagram account. Many of them were already off the platforms by Thursday afternoon. This story came out at 3:51 p.m. Laura Loomer wrote on her Instagram before it was removed, and she took to the photo-sharing platform to send one last message to her followers saying that she tried to warn them and she never violated the platform's terms of service. She said she was banned and Facebook accused her of being dangerous. "Looks like you guys will probably never hear from me again," she wrote. "It's only a matter of time before they ban me here too. I try to warn you. Thank you for all your support, but I guess it's time for me to go to the gulag. Hashtag stop the bias." Facebook has set policies and a process for determining whether or not individuals have violated the terms of the site. Factors like whether an account has called for or carried out acts of violence against certain groups of people, is a follower of hateful ideology, uses speech or slurs, or has had accounts or posts removed for such violations, all factor into the account's removal. "We've always banned individuals or organizations that promote or engage in violence and hate, regardless of ideology. The process for evaluating potential violators is extensive, and it is what led us to our decision to remove these accounts today. I'd like to point out there is many left-wing groups on these platforms who have called for violence. I've read them that are still online." You know, it's funny that you can create a vague description for terms of service. So some of these sound like things that you really need to look out for. Acts of violence against certain groups of people. Yes, of course, you would want to look out for that. As a follower of hateful ideology. Now, that's a little bit more vague. Because you could just describe any ideology that's different from yours as being hateful. Uses hate speech or slurs, or has had accounts or posts removed for such violations. Uses hate speech or slurs. So, I mean, what about calling someone a jerk? Is that a slur? What if I call someone a jerk and the person who I call a jerk is a woman? Now am I hurling slurs against women? Now, you might think that that's ridiculous, and it is ridiculous. You'd be right. That's ridiculous. But you have to understand that that's what some of these social media platforms are using as a standard for their terms of service. They'll take something they don't like, and they will they'll use it as an example of hate speech. People have posted things like parts of the Constitution, words of Mother Teresa, and they've gotten banned for it. People are banned for making jokes, off-color jokes, but even jokes that aren't that off-color. And I don't know. I just feel like it's not right. You know, I mean, when you guys hear about this stuff happening, and you must hear it from other places, or maybe you don't. I don't know. Maybe just listen to mainstream media sources. I mean, they've certainly taken over the platforms, definitely. But I mean, is what I'm saying the results, the things that could happen from it? It's very 1984-y, isn't it? Doesn't it kind of rub you the wrong way? You know, that these people are just deciding on a whim without any real reason as to who gets to speak and who doesn't. Now, capitalism should come into play here, right? Because if people are using a platform, then you would figure that once a platform starts going awry and does things like this, that they would stop using the platform and use another platform. And of course, I can understand saying, well, no one's as big as Facebook. You can't. I get that. But you can have alternatives that will become larger than Facebook. I mean, MySpace was the thing. Nobody had ever heard of Facebook. And then out of nowhere, Facebook came over and completely deposed them. So it's possible, and it will happen, unless there's artificial means being employed to keep other platforms from rising. So, for instance, Gab is an alternative to Twitter. But what happens with Gab? I do remember that when Gab started gaining momentum, Gab itself was deplatformed somehow. Their hosting account decided not to keep them anymore. They had a lot of other problems too. Oh, I think PayPal decided not to support them anymore. And other right-wing sort of leaning institutions or people have had similar problems. People who were making money off of Patreon, which is a site that will allow people to contribute to you, deplatformed people from its site. You figure, what does Patreon care? I mean, unless they're a real violent place, what does Patreon care if you're conservative or not conservative? You know, they're taking a piece of your money, right? But again, you have other platforms have stepped in to take up where Patreon has misstepped. So as somebody who has the time to peruse these social media sites, I just kind of want to inform you people as to what's going on out here so that you can have an understanding of things that are happening maybe behind the scenes. You know, while you're at work and you're enjoying entertainment and things, you know, there's sort of a battle being fought out here. Now, the argument is that these social media platforms are allowed to deplatform people because they're private companies. And I agree with that. But then you have the lawsuit against Donald Trump where he wasn't allowed to ban people from his Twitter because that is against free speech. So I feel like the left kind of has it both ways here. Now, speaking of Trump, he tweeted about this incident. Let me find that. And he wrote, "How can it be possible that James Woods and many others, a strong but responsible conservative voice, is banned from Twitter? Social media and fake news media, together with their partner, the Democrat Party, have no idea the problems they are causing for themselves. Very unfair." And it is unfair. And, you know, these places are shooting themselves in the foot. I mean, the great thing about the internet nowadays, one of the good things, is that everybody has access to the information. And this has just terrified, you know, people in position of power. Because while I think they don't want to get rid of it because they feel like they can leverage it against people. So, for instance, places like YouTube have made it where if you search for anything that is politically oriented, they no longer will give you some guy's, you know, video, homemade video. Now it only goes to a mainstream news source. And I told you when this first started happening, I was complaining about it. And it never really became a big story, but it's crazy because I used to be able to find a video that I wanted very easily. So if I wanted to look up something like maybe Debbie Wasserman Schultz, booed at DNC, I could instantly find that, right? Somebody who was there would have taken it with a cell phone and posted it. Nowadays, if I tried to find something like that, and I don't know about that specific incident, I'm just using an example, but I wouldn't be surprised if I tried to find that nowadays and I got all of these like news reports instead, right? Instead of the person's cell phone that years ago I had been able to find instantly. Because what happened was CNN and MSNBC and these news sources, I guess they figured out that, man, we are losing our lunch to places like YouTube. And so they ran stories saying how places like YouTube had fake news and advertisers need to be aware of it. They doxed YouTube, basically. And so I think YouTube started to lose some revenue, and they said, okay, well, we're going to make a deal. And they actually pay these companies now to be able to host and put their videos up. It's insane. Well, it looks like they've paid for it, though, because they have lost. This is a story. Alphabet, I didn't even know that was the name of the company that owned Google and YouTube. Alphabet had more than $70 billion in market cap wiped out. And it said YouTube is one of the problems. And then it goes on to talk about how they changed their algorithm, and it's hurting them. Alphabet reported a sharp decline in ad revenue growth Monday, sending the stock down more than 8% on Tuesday. Alphabet CFO said changes to YouTube's algorithm caused lower engagement and ad revenue growth on the site. Of course it did. People don't want to go searching high and low for a video. They want to be able to type it in and the algorithm finds it for them. They don't want to be shunted over to some, you know, a mainstream media news source. Ruth Porat was probably referring to changes YouTube made to curb the spread of fake news and conspiracy theories. You know, that's something else that drives me nuts. These places call anything that isn't the mainstream narrative a conspiracy theory, even if it's true or turns out to be true. They never go back and they say, oh, well, you know, we were wrong about it. We were wrong about the PP tape, right? We were wrong about Syria gassing its own people. Right, we were wrong about what's another conspiracy. We were wrong about Russia being in cahoots with Trump. They never go back and disown their conspiracy theories, and they never go back and they never correct themselves when they're wrong about, you know, the so-called conspiracy theories that turn out to be true. You know, it's only a conspiracy theory until it's proven to be true, right? So we really need to take that name, conspiracy theory, and reserve it for things like, you know, aliens are visiting the Earth or something like that. Because this, it's really disingenuous to take a different point of view and then try to debunk it just by saying the words conspiracy theory, and people go, oh, that person's crazy, right? You know, these people who are wrong over and over again keep somehow staying in power. But the people who are right over and over again, somehow they're fringe and conspiracy theorists. It's ridiculous. But money talks and BS walks, and unless they get paid, whether from the government or by the mainstream news sources or ad revenue, unless it's in their best interest to do so, YouTube and the like aren't going to keep on doing the BS that they are. As a matter of fact, I think I heard somewhere that there's a concession by YouTube, and they're saying, well, we're going to make it so that half of the things that you see now on YouTube that are trending are actually going to be real. So instead of giving you mainstream news sources and media clips from SNL and places like that, they're actually going to give you, you know, real people, which is what YouTube originally was created for and what they made their success on. But you'll see, competitors will come out. So YouTube's either going to need to change, because as long as there's an internet and people have a choice to go to wherever they want to, if a competing site comes out that offers the things that YouTube used to have, people will abandon YouTube pretty quickly once the word gets out. I hear the Bernie Sanders contingent say things like, oh, well, you know, I can't wait for these old people to die off, because once they do, then the liberals are going to take over, right? They couldn't be more wrong, guys. the facts are on the side of conservatives. And as long as people have access to the facts and are able to look them up themselves, the conservatives are going to win the day. The conservatives have a very bright future ahead of them because we have truth on our side. The true conservatives, not the neocons, not the rhinos. I'm talking about the people who believe in earning an honest living, people that believe that work is good and hard work is better, people who believe that the money you make belongs to you and should be given away voluntarily, not by force, and that a better future should be reserved for people who deserve it and earn it, not for people who whine for it and say you owe them for no reason other than because I'm me and I'm special. The jealous, petty, greedy people who are too lazy to put in the work and will blame you for their failures. Remember, guys, the leech needs the host, right? Not the other way around. But we got some battles to fight, man. You know, and it really is. Alex Jones had one thing right, which is that he called the title of his show InfoWars. And it really is a war of information. But if we can get the information out there, we're going to be okay. You know, I do a podcast, and I'm part of this podcasting group, right? So I get this stuff from the podcasting group, and one of the things that they gave me was a message saying about, hey, you got to look at this place. They're hiring. They're giving money away. And so I'm thinking, well, I want some money. Let me see what it's all about, right? This is the Google Podcast Creator Program. Now, keep in mind, they are not. It's a conspiracy theory to think that they're biased. Okay, keep that in mind. That's a conspiracy theory to think that they're biased. All right. Now, this is at googlecp.prx.org/FAQ. Okay. Frequently asked questions for the Google Podcast Creator Program. When can I apply? What are you looking for? So they give you the application date. What are you looking for? Representative range of geographies, backgrounds, views, voices, and styles. Well, that sounds good. Here's the next one. Either identify as marginalized. This is what they're looking for. Either identify as marginalized in the current podcasting landscape, whether due to race, ethnicity, gender, religion, economic background, sexual orientation, age, physical abilities, or some other reason, or intend to reach an audience that self-identifies as marginalized in the podcasting landscape. Now, I'm no Columbo, but I would guess that that wouldn't mean a straight, white, heterosexual male. Okay? And I would further postulate that that wouldn't mean any black, homosexual, Asian or woman who is a conservative, because a conservative will take responsibility for their actions. I'm saying I think the free market is going to save us from the situation that we're in right now, assuming that it's allowed to thrive and continue. You know, so even though I do feel marginalized that people who believe similarly that I do are being banned left and right, I think that they're going to get together and find new platforms and new ways to reach people, assuming that they are not, you know, that there's not some higher power stopping that from happening. I said moments ago that I think that the future for conservatives is bright. So people who are conservative generally don't feel put upon, marginalized. They feel a sense of responsibility. They don't feel like it's somebody else's fault or somebody else's problem. Do you think Google's going to hire them? Let me give you a little bit more. What are you not looking for? They're not looking for unstructured conversations, which of course means conversations. Live storytelling, branded content. Producers must have full editorial control over the podcast content. And they're not looking for single season or terminal podcasts. Isn't that interesting? Producers must have full control over the podcast content. Now, can you imagine the insipid, useless podcasts that we're going to get out of these content creators that come out of this training program? They're going to be mouthpieces, obviously, for the people who are paying their salary. Again, this is my opinion. You know, I might not be right about this, but I got a pretty strong feeling we're going to get a bunch of nasty, whiny podcasters out of this